all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It's Friday, March 17th, as we talk to you live from our Lake Wissota studios. I'm Pat Kreitlow, Aaron Zommer's here as well. And coming up this hour, we'll get an update on the weekend forecast from meteorologist Jennifer Wachitsky. It's Weatherology. Mark Jacob will join us, as he does every Friday at 7:30, to talk about the way that the national media is covering stories in the national headlines this week, good, bad, or indifferent. And Dan Schumacher joins us, the UW-Eau Claire Athletic Director, is our guest sportscaster. Most Fridays at about 7:50, we probably play a Grateful Dead tune on his behalf as well. And then we look at what the week is looking like for sports, especially the NCAA tournament going on today. Both the Marquette men and women's basketball teams are involved in that one. And we'll also talk about the Badger women's hockey team being in the Frozen Four. There's a Milwaukee Bucks update, of course, and more. But for the moment, let's talk about whether the people who represent us in Madison are tackling the big issues, you know, the important issues that have an impact on our lives, or if they're just spinning their wheels. Why would I say that? Well, because when you think of the things that we have to deal with, from, you know, gun violence and school shootings to underfunded schools to still coming out of a pandemic recession, the things that face people, like inflation. There's, you know, the battle over, you know, women's health care rights and whether a law from 1849 should still be determining, you know, whether women have control over their own bodies. So many things that could be worked on. You've got a governor that I'll talk about in the next segment who wants to dedicate so many more resources to helping improve mental health care resources in the state. What are Republicans working on? Well, a new bill began circulating this week that would designate a particular lever-action rifle produced in Wisconsin as the official state rifle. The bill would designate the Henry All-Weather 4570 as Wisconsin's official state rifle. It is, of course, a symbolic bill only. It doesn't force anyone to purchase or use the weapon, but it would give Rice Lake-based Henry Repeating Arms plenty of publicity. And it would also help the bill's authors score some political points with gun supporters. The company's Big Boy All-Weather Rifle won the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin contest back in 2019. Of course, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is the state's largest business association, and I would argue the de facto Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin. You have Democrats like Senator Chris Larson of Milwaukee scoffing at a bill like this, noting that, you know, there's been such an uptick in homicides in the Milwaukee area with guns being the weapon of choice. And so in terms of picking a state rifle, his reaction was, "Are you kidding me? Why? There are so many mounting problems in our communities that people are facing. And it seems silly that we're trying to go down the path of trying to designate things that are nothing more than bumper sticker signals to their base." And then there's Heidi Johnson, who's a spokesperson for the Wisconsin anti-violence effort, who said that in light of the devastating levels of gun violence in this state and in this country, naming a state gun should probably not be one of the higher concerns of state lawmakers. On top of that, if you have a legislature that tries to style itself as somehow being pro-life and wants to keep people safe, she says choosing the Henry All-Weather 4570 as the official state rifle might highlight a lack of interest in keeping people safe, given that the company had to recall certain models earlier this month. The company posted on its website on March 10th for the Henry All-Weather 4570s produced between late December and early January to be recalled, saying the weapons can go off without anyone pulling the trigger due to firing pins that may not meet specifications. The company warned all users of Henry lever-action 4570s to stop using them until they determined whether they were manufactured during that particular recall window. But instead, we're looking at a bill that would designate an official state rifle. In the meantime, there continues to be a dispute over what should be the future of reforming the bail system in Wisconsin. Whether people are committing crimes with guns or other weapons or on paper in any way, shape, or form, do they present a danger to themselves and others? Do they pose a flight risk? And how do those criteria determine how a judge sets bail? For Democrats, that included a plan unveiled yesterday to largely eliminate the use of cash bail in Wisconsin, even as Republicans are getting behind a constitutional amendment that would make it harder for many people to get out of jail before trial, just based on whether they have the money or not to post bail. The Democratic plan would allow judges, or the Republican plan would allow judges to consider the criminal history of people accused of violent crime. And of course, the governor can't veto an amendment to the Constitution. So if it passes next month, it becomes state law. But criminal justice advocates warn that it could also worsen crime rates and increase disparities between the rich and poor. Research on bail shows that the people who are detained before trial, before they have a chance to prove whether they're guilty or innocent, are more likely to plead guilty, often accepting plea deals just to end their detainment, and then they're more likely to be unemployed in the years after their release, even if they did not actually commit the crime, but they can't afford to stay in jail because they're likely to lose their jobs, their homes, their families while awaiting trial. Basically, everybody agrees that bail needs to be reformed in Wisconsin. It's all a matter of whether you take away the cash component and just look at safety, or with Republicans, if you keep the cash component in there, which could lead to folks choosing jail, even if they don't need to be there for a crime that does not involve violence. We'll be back with a weather update and more after this. You're up north. This is Billy Boy, Billy Corgan's 56th birthday today of Smashing Pumpkins as we play tonight there. Just ahead of a weatherology update from meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, heading into a weekend where the first day of spring is on the horizon, which may or may not bring spring-like weather, which is why we have an expert like Jennifer and everybody else at Weatherology to give us those updates. Good morning. Jennifer, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, good morning. We were just talking about the first day of spring being on the way, and sometimes it's, spring-like weather, and sometimes you can wish for it, but you don't necessarily get it. How are things looking all across Wisconsin heading into the weekend?
Yeah, you know what? It's actually, for the most part, looking relatively calm. It looks like a few spotty areas of some flurries potentially coming in the evening hours for parts of the listening area or parts of the state. In the southern portions of the state, Madison over down to Wisconsin or to Milwaukee, we're looking at kind of calm conditions here as far as the wet weather is concerned, but some areas of breeziness. We're actually looking at a low pressure system that's actually in the UP right now that came in with a cold front. So temperatures today, for the most part, either holding steady or slowly falling throughout the day. As you get a little bit closer to the central portions of the state, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, you'll see those temperatures starting holding steady early, then slowly falling with the passing of that cold front, and also seeing a few scattered areas of snow showers coming in the evening hours into the overnight and into early Saturday morning as well. And as you get to the western portions of the state, Amory, Baldwin, and cities around those areas, looking at much cooler temperatures here overall here for today, temperatures lingering right around about the mid-teens here for the most part. So that's going to be the coolest part of the state right now. And it looks like the extreme northern portions of the state around Ironwood Ironwood is in Michigan in the UP, but Ashland, Iron River are still looking at areas of winter storm warnings. So anywhere between 2 to 5 additional inches of snowfall. So if you are traveling to the extreme northern portions of the state, definitely something to keep in mind. Otherwise, it looks like it's going to be relatively dry here for the forecast. for most of the southern portions of the state. Maybe a few spotty areas of flurries here for Saturday morning, but it does look like we'll start to see temperatures kind of still lingering in the 20s here for Saturday, a little bit below average by about 20 degrees. We should be around about the mid to lower 40s for the most part, upper 30s in the northern portions of the state. Sunday, beautiful day to take advantage of. So Saturday, it's going to be a little bit on the cooler side for pretty much everyone. Sunday, though, definitely one day to take advantage of and go outside, looking at temperatures getting up for the most part right around about the mid to upper 30s. A little bit warmer in the southern portions of the state, right around about 40 degrees. So again, definitely take advantage of that and looking at temperatures right around about the lower 30s, around freezing in the western portions of the state on Sunday. But a calm, relatively dry day coming in here on Sunday, so definitely want to take advantage of.
I'm sure that the folks who are going to be reveling for St. Patrick's Day would have liked that warm-up to come a little sooner, but I'm also quite certain that the revelers for St. Patrick's Day don't really care what the weather is. They're going to revel, you know, no matter what. So, Jennifer, we appreciate the forecast. Hope you have a great weekend, and talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much. You too.
All right, Jennifer. Thank you very much. Let's look ahead to a story that is very illustrative of the challenges that are faced in keeping us safe and how that is complicated when people try to play politics with public safety. And I'm talking specifically about mental health, mental illness, and again, the red flags that are raised, but we can't always deal with them as quickly as we would like to. And to illustrate that, I'll take you back to an attack on an airline flight attendant, a passenger who tried to charge the cockpit. This was not an isolated incident for a Massachusetts man by the name of Francisco Torres. And in fact, about a week beforehand, he was stopping. He was in front of a barbershop. Music was blaring. He was proclaiming himself to be half angel, half devil. He told people that he wanted to be shot with a car that was, or he wanted to be shot with an automatic weapon that was in his car. But before anybody could really do anything about it, he drove off. Nobody ever saw the weapon. He didn't return. But it was not the only time that Francisco Torres had alarmed people with unusual behavior. But again, because he wasn't violent in the moment, it meant that not a lot could happen to get him help or to prevent things that could happen, as happened a week later when Torres was on an airplane and threatened to kill people and promised a bloodbath before he charged to the front of the plane where a group of passengers had to tackle him to the ground. And so it brought up the whole case of, you know, whatever happened with these no-fly lists, and is there one list? Are there multiple lists? And who really gets on those at this point? Well, one of the things that we learned from the coverage of this particular incident is that experts tell you there's very little that airline companies can and or should be doing. It turns out the airlines, while they have their own banned passenger lists, they still don't share them with each other. Even though there are some cases so notorious like this recent one that the passenger's name becomes widely known, and no doubt he's on the no-fly list for that one airline, but probably not the others. The FBI, meanwhile, does maintain a no-fly list for people suspected of terrorism, and special agents and other government employees can submit names for consideration. But folks who just in general have mental illnesses are not, for that reason alone, prohibited from getting on planes. Citizens have a public right of transit through the airspace. There has been proposed legislation backed by the airlines that was introduced in Congress last year to create a single new no-fly list, including people who were charged or fined for interfering with airline crews in the past. The bills died in Congress without any kind of a hearing, although backers do plan to reintroduce them this month. Why did they die? Well, several Republican senators opposed the proposal, saying that these lists could be used to punish critics of the federal rule that required airline passengers to wear masks and equate them with terrorists, in the words of the Republicans. So, in other words, as you recall throughout the the heart of the COVID pandemic, there were an increasing amount of disturbances by passengers who refused to wear masks during a pandemic to keep themselves and other people safe. Now, we all have experienced things that we don't like when we're traveling. I mentioned how, you know, two nights ago, I sat on the tarmac at the San Diego airport for well over an hour. The flight was delayed over 2 hours. I was extremely bothered by, you know, the toddler two rows behind me that cried for the entire time. But at no point did it occur to me to get up and rush the cockpit or to cause some other kind of a disturbance. But some of the folks who had to wear a mask or to wear a piece of cloth over their face caused a disturbance. And would that put you on a no-fly list? Oh, hell yes. And it should. But because Republicans said that that would somehow equate them with terrorists, they opposed a bill that would create a unified no-fly list so that jerks like these people can continue to fly and can continue to create, you know, disturbances in the future if they don't like, you know, the flavor of the peanuts that the, you know, flight attendants are serving or what have you. So we have to continually put up with this in our airlines, and it doesn't help at all as we try to determine people who have genuine mental health concerns and, again, should or should not be flying until they get, you know, the attention that they need. And so while we continue to work on, you know, trusted traveler programs like TSA PreCheck, where people are fingerprinted, they pass a background check. I mean, I'm enrolled in that program and I find it extremely useful, but we are not looking at the other side of the program nearly enough about people who should not be in a position where they can threaten the safety of airline passengers and where they can't get necessarily the help that they need. It doesn't help matters when some of these same politicians are blocking efforts to increase access to mental health resources. Recall that Governor Tony Evers declared that 2023 was going to be the year of mental health. And in his proposed state budget, it includes hundreds of millions of dollars to expand access to mental and behavioral services, including veteran mental health services, school-based mental health services, ways to help out the suicide and crisis lifeline support, and help out in the workforce. And yet, after all of these things were announced, you saw a simple tweet from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss saying something along the lines of, "Never going to happen." And that was it. So we still don't know exactly what we're going to see from legislative Republicans if and when they decide to take mental health issues seriously. But these are things with very real consequences, ranging from a disturbance on an airplane to, you know, shootings and other incidents that happen, you know, in our streets from people who had not had any kind of a violent episode before, but all of the warnings were there. All of the red flags were there. I just come back when you say red flags, it takes you right back to what, you know, Tim Michels said when he was running for governor against Tony Evers last year, that he was opposed to red flag laws because, you know, a jealous wife could make up something as part of their, you know, divorce battle, that he's got, you know, guns and he's a threat to others. And that make-believe scenario was Tim Michels' reason to oppose red flag laws, something favored by about 80% of Wisconsinites as about as common sense a safety measure as it gets, that when people demonstrate real potential for harm, that a judge can be asked to consider the case and potentially have this person's guns removed temporarily until these factors are addressed, until they get the mental health care that they need. But we can't get those kinds of things because we are dealing with politicians who, again, would rather designate a state rifle, as we talked about in the last segment, rather than taking on the real problems that are facing people in Wisconsin and across the nation. So again, as we deal with what the governor called the quiet burgeoning crisis of the state of mental health, he notes that there will be catastrophic consequences if we don't start taking this seriously in our classrooms, in our workplaces. Do this for police and other law enforcement. Do this for the people in our schools. Do it for all of us out in the general population who don't need anybody to play politics any longer with mental health care. Again, every one of us has a stake in this, but we're going to require leadership. And without that leadership, we're going to continue to face headlines like what we saw, and unfortunately, headlines about stories where things get even worse. We'll talk more about some of the stories of the past week with Mark Jacob and how the media covered it, all coming up in just a bit. We'll take a little break here, get an updated forecast, and we'll look at the weekend sports before the day is out here as well on Up North News Radio for a Friday. We'll be right back.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
All right, I believe Aaron Zommers has hijacked the music list once again, but usually it's for a good reason, and in this case, apparently it deals with a birthday in the Civic Media family, Aaron?
Yes, today is the birthday of our CEO, Sage Weil, and this is Roy G. Biv by Boards of Canada, because I happen to know he likes that band.
All right, well, good work out of you. I'm sure there'll be a little something extra in the birthday card that that you're sending him, right?
Yeah.
All right. Mark Jacob joins us now from Chicago, author, former editor with the Chicago Tribune and the Sun-Times, and we tend to take time this week to look at how the media has covered this, that, and the other thing over the course of the week. A lot of times we end up talking about not just the media figures, but the politicians as well, and we have a doozy from Minnesota to tell you about in just a second, but I want to start, Mark, with the media figures, and the Dominion lawsuit against Fox News told us a lot about what was happening behind the scenes, and it kind of reinforced the things that we already knew, what a lot of us already knew about some of the folks at Fox News. And you put it very succinctly in a post this week that Maria Bartiromo gets paid a lot of money to tell lies that make people more likely to die of COVID, and she is a hazard to the nation's health, to which I would say amen 100%. And yet she was a revered, immensely respected figure at CNBC before she went over to Fox. So now I get to turn you into a pop psychologist and say, Mark, what the hell happened?
What happened to her? You know, there are people like Bartiromo. I would kind of put Glenn Greenwald in this category too, where, you know, in some early media mentions and when they, you know, first started, they, you know, people thought that they would be on, you know, the side of righteousness, but they turned out to be, you know, take some horrible turn. And my theory is that there were always horrible people. They were just presenting well. And now we're seeing them for what they really, really were. And maybe, you know, the thing about it is, the thing that scares me most about what's going on in both in media and in politics today is not that people have, you know, the wrong ideas or that that their opinions are, you know, hazardous to people. It's more that they don't really believe in anything. I mean, the fact that they don't really believe in anything is frightening. And I think that Bartiromo is in that case. I think, you know, early in her career, she was doing what made her successful, and it made her successful. And then as soon as she gets on, you know, Fox and gets in that world, she does what's going to make her successful in that world. And that is bringing on politicians to lie and then saying, oh, well, that's very interesting. We should be very concerned about this thing you just said.
You know, there's many examples, but another one of them would be the MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, who, again, you know, started off as, hey, I'm just this nice guy who sells pillows. And, you know, you get into the public consciousness and then it all just comes unraveling. And one of the stories that I saw this week over at Media Matters was about how Mike Lindell is funding numerous QAnon supporting figures and other extremists. He's giving them special MyPillow codes. I mean, he's that's literally his business model now, is just to cater to the extreme fringe of the population. And so it's politicians, it's media figures, it's business people. Yeah. They have just figured out this is their niche for fame or fortune.
You know, another example is Michael Flynn. I can't believe that he was this insane when he was rising in the ranks in the military. I mean, otherwise nobody would have put him in any position like that. And they never should have, obviously. But I mean, go look it up. Michael Flynn suggested that the nefarious forces in our government were putting vaccine in salad dressing. I mean, Google it. Google Michael Flynn vaccine salad dressing, and you'll find out that I'm not making this up. He actually thought that. And he's completely on the lunatic QAnon, you know, faction now. And that guy was national security advisor. He knew every secret in our damn government for a while, until the fact that he was secretly, you know, collaborating with the Russians came out and other things came out.
And let's remember that the part of the ill effect of this, as we expose people for, you know, what they are beyond what maybe our first impression was of them when they first came on the scene, the unfortunate side effect is that people will find it harder to trust any figure in journalism, media, or elsewhere. And, you know, it really is a case of a couple of bad apples can end up spoiling the whole bunch.
Well, and this is something I've been saying, and it's, about the traitorous right. And again, just to be really clear, I'm not saying everyone who has, you know, who opposes abortion or anyone who doesn't want national health care is traitorous or terrible. No, that's a legitimate opinion to have. I'm talking about traitorous people who like conspire to overthrow the government and overturn fair elections. The thing about the media, the right-wing media that's just lying to you on purpose, is that they don't really necessarily want you to believe them. I think that their ultimate goal is to get you to believe nothing. I think they want you to just decide that everyone's lying, that you can't trust anything, and that lack of trust will make people turn off and not be engaged in their government, not be engaged in their society, crawl into their living room on their living room couch and, you know, watch TV all the time and not do anything, not vote, not engage in anything. And so I think that part of this kind of cascade of lies that we've been seeing from the right is designed to make you believe nothing.
Yeah. As a result, they get to do, you know, pretty much whatever, because again, when fewer people vote, it makes it easier for them to go unchecked. And again, when you ask, do they believe in nothing, or do they just believe something wrong? It isn't just that these are folks who are, you know, nobodies who just sat around watching TV all day. You've got people like this Republican legislator in Minnesota, Steve Drazkowski, who the video is going around of him making remarks on the floor of the legislature saying that he disagrees with providing, you know, school breakfasts and lunches, because he says, quote, "I have yet to meet a person in Minnesota that is hungry. I have yet to meet somebody in Minnesota who does not have access to enough food to eat." Really?
Right. I mean, it's like, and so the idea that that this guy's circle of friends is how we should judge everything in society. And I mean, come on.
Well, actually, you know what? The circle of friends theory is exactly what's behind the big lie. It's always people who say, I don't know anybody who voted for Joe Biden, so I don't know how he could have gotten that many votes. And I think, how are you saying that out loud with a straight face?
Right. Well, that's the thing. What has long bothered me is this idea that some, you know, farmer in Iowa is more of an American than some kid on the south side of Chicago. I mean, this idea that only the people, only the, you know, the people who are just like us are real Americans. Jim Jordan, Ohio congressman, keeps on saying, well, real Americans this and real Americans that. Well, we're all real Americans. You know, if we're in America, if we're American citizens, we're all real Americans. And some of us are poor. I mean, there's statistics the guy could have looked up that would show that poverty is a problem. And that's, you know, Pat, that's another thing that I think people aren't worrying about poverty. If they're not poor, you know, they don't think about it. But some people are. I mean, there's statistics on it. And also in recently, the Congress, because of, you know, of right wing influence, failed to continue extend the child poverty tax credit, which pulled a bunch of kids out of poverty, and now they're sinking back in. So I mean that's part of another thing about the right that bothers me is that they say they're very religious, and you know I believe that they think they are, but part of religion is caring for people that aren't as fortunate as you, and this guy just is so out of touch. I would think that would be, instead of him saying that that's a reason that we shouldn't like give breakfasts to poor kids in school, that's his confession. That's him confessing that he's out of touch with his constituents.
I wonder, because I was traveling this week and didn't watch nearly as much coverage of things as I normally do, but I wanted to know your impression of the coverage of the Silicon Valley Bank collapse and some of the coverage of it that included this ridiculous right-wing talking point that the bank was too focused on being quote-unquote woke, right. You know, in other words, you know, having, you know, diversity guidelines and things and not paying attention to its investments. Now, look, you and I both know that's a bunch of bull, but I wonder, I did see some of the initial coverage of it, and it made me wonder, of course, you're going to cover what somebody says the very first time. The question is, do you put it on a loop and play it over and over again? Do you think that got sufficiently debunked, or is that something that right-wing media continues to run with?
Hey, well, Hannity was talking about it last night. So,
okay,
yeah.
There's that.
so there, you know, I mean, I didn't watch Hannity, thank goodness, but I did see it on Twitter. And, they're going with that. And it was like it was an instantaneous thing. And it was also with some person, you know, at the Wall Street Journal, their right-wing editorial side, was pushing it too. So it was just kind of instantaneous. We got to like, everything's woke. I did a tweet the other day that had a picture of the explosion of the Hindenburg. And I said, you know, damn woke dirigibles, you know, I mean, you know, everything, like, so every problem that happens is because of woke. And when you think about it, what they're really saying is that our banks are failing because somebody's trying to force us to be fair to Black people. I mean, it's like, you know, you can't be fair to Black people in promotion and hiring and still like run a bank. Like there's some thing where you can't do that. The desire for some people to go straight back to the 1950s is just, it's just shocking. I mean,
well, they have found a path to get back there in terms of this, making this argument that talking about racism is racist.
Right, right, right. As if everything's been cured, everything's been solved. You know, I mean, there was a statistic a few years ago in Chicago where Black people were arrested for marijuana possession like 8 times the level of white people. Well, you want to tell me that Black people are smoking pot 8 times as much as white people? I don't think so. I really don't think so. And so statistics like that just tell you that the problem continues. And again, nobody's trying to say, well, we all should feel guilty and, you know, and surrender our government to the, you know, the woke mob or whatever. No, we're just saying, let's try to be fair. Let's learn from the past. You know, there was a story in the New York Times that was just shocking that to me was about how these book publishers, these textbook publishers, are trying to edit their textbooks to be acceptable to Ron DeSantis and his bunch, who, you know, don't want racism even talked about. And the textbook had a reference to Rosa Parks. And they took out, they proposed taking out for the Florida why she was being forced to the back of the bus. They still said that she was being forced to the back of the bus, but they forgot to say, or they took out that she was because she was Black.
Yeah, the exact text here is, Rosa Parks showed courage. One day she rode the bus. She was told to move to a different seat because of the color of her skin. She did not. She did what she believed was right. And then the new version says, Rosa Parks showed courage. One day she rode the bus. She was told to move to a different seat. She did not. She did what she believed was right. Seems like there's something important missing there, Mark.
It does seem so. And really, and also saying that she was forced to the back of the bus because she was black, that's not going to make some poor, you know, some white kid feel guilty. It's going to make some white kid not be racist when they grow up. I mean, I learned all about how, you know, the cruelty toward the American Indians, all this. I learned American history. It didn't make me feel guilty. I didn't do Wounded Knee. It wasn't me. I just want to be a kind of person that wouldn't do it again. That's what history's for. It's to make us learn stuff and be better.
Yeah, it's not going to make some white kid feel guilty. It's going to make racists feel mad that they, you know, are continuing to be exposed, right, and maybe should treat people a little bit better. Mark Jacob will take next week off. We'll pick it up in 2 weeks. Always great to talk to you. Have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Take care. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dan Schumacher over at UW-Eau Claire. The athletic director there joins us every Friday about this time, and we look ahead to the weekend in sports. It's a very busy time as the winter sports season wraps up, so we'll get that visit with him coming up in just about 2 minutes here. You're up north. You get it already? Dan Schumacher playing Name That Tune. Name that Grateful Dead tune, Dan.
It's Althea.
Yeah, he mouthed it immediately.
He did. Aaron's totally vouching for him over here. That's so great. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, you as well. You look at us both resplendent in our green outfits.
I'm going to put my patty hat on and a nice Irish sweatshirt on for later this afternoon to enjoy.
To me, I have virtually no non-Packer green, you know, anyway, yeah. And I'm not sure why. I just don't. But it's also all those years of it's St. Patrick's Day. Oh, it's all about you. It's like, no, there's not a drop of Irish blood in me. So I think this is just kind of my pushback of, no, it's not my day. It's a day for others, for beer drinkers everywhere. oh yes, and the Irish. Yes. We are about as busy a period as it gets for sports. We've got March Madness going on. We've got things happening at the high school and college level. There's some pro things as well. Badgers NIT run, that didn't go very well.
Well, they won.
They won.
They won, but when you looked at it, you know, bad time to host something when you're on spring break. There was nobody in the stands. It's kind of shocking how much they didn't have in attendance for an NIT game. Mm-hmm. I think they put, when did they play today?
Let's see. It says here Sunday, 11 a.m. against Liberty.
And they had to do that because of the WIAA. They were supposed to play probably today instead of Sunday, but because the Kohl Center is wrapped up in WIAA basketball, the NIT game had to be moved to Sunday.
Oh, is that what did it? Oh, my God.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But a good shout out to Whitewater. Whitewater made the Final Four in men's basketball, did lose, come short to Mount Union last night, but it was an exciting game. The women play today. Whitewater's women do play today. So they made a great run at the end of the season and set themselves up for a great postseason as well.
Okay. All right. When I mentioned the Badgers before, I realized I'm still thinking about the Big Ten tournament and how quickly they flamed out on that one. But yeah, the NIT, I just got it confirmed here. The number two seeded Badgers will host number three seeded Liberty 11 a.m. Sunday at the Kohl Center, and it'll be on ESPN2. The Badger women's hockey team is in the national semifinals tonight, 6 o'clock against the Gophers, but in Duluth. So not to confuse people, it's not UMD. It's actually the Minnesota Golden Gophers that the Badger women are taking on this evening. The Marquette men play in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. They open up in Columbus, Ohio this afternoon at 1:45 against Vermont. The Marquette women play this morning against South Florida. That's at 10:30 in Columbia, South Carolina. Do you fill out brackets now at this point? You've got so much going on. No, you can't, can you?
I can. It's illegal. It's actually illegal. Part of the rules. It's part of the gambling rules. So, no, I'm not allowed to bet on any games, fill out a bracket, play fantasy football. That's not allowed in the position that I'm in with the NCAA with the rules. So,
oh, okay.
So I'm looking forward to that day to be able to sit in the sports book one day and bet on football game or something like that. or fill out a bracket or play fantasy football.
Wait, do I not even get to ask you who you think is going to win the
NCAA? Oh, I can be a prognosticator. Yes, of course.
Oh, okay.
But I do like Duke. I do like Duke winning it all this year.
Okay.
I thought yesterday's game was the best game. Yesterday was Furman beating Virginia.
I was going to say we had a couple of big. Did we have both a 12 and a 13 win yesterday, or not a 12?
I don't know. I can't remember how Northern Kentucky was up on a high seed. They were like 14 seed, and they were winning when I felt kind of nodded off at that point last night.
I continue to, you know, reaffirm why nobody should confuse us for a sports talk radio station over here, because and again, it's why I stopped filling out brackets myself. Was like, I'm not going to be able to predict which 12 is going to beat a 5, you know, and the odds of filling out a perfect bracket are like in the quintillions or something like that. Just enjoy the game if you want to watch the game. That's the way I look at it.
I would say, Pat, from what I understand and what I know inside wise, and my experience is based on planning since 2012 when I was an athletic director at Division I. In the next 2 years, I think you will see the Power 5 conferences take their ball and go home like they did with football. That you won't see the Cinderella stories anymore. You won't see the mid-majors. That the Power 5 is going to develop their own field of 64, and none of the conferences outside of the Power 5 will be participating in that basketball tournament anymore. Means that they'll probably fully break away from the NCAA as they did with football.
That would be crazy, because then you wouldn't be able to see, now that I've looked things up here, you wouldn't see a number 15 Princeton beating number two Arizona, or that a number 13, a Furman was a 13 seed knocking off number four Virginia. Wasn't Virginia the one that lost to a 16 a couple years back?
Yep. man. I mean, these are all great stories, but like I was reminded, those stories last for news cycle probably 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why they want to change they want their ball and go home. They don't want to share the money either. It's all down about money. Just
to say, there's a lot of money going on with that. Holy
that's why the expansion of college football playoffs is going to happen. Because the big Power Five, it's all about money.
But here's the thing. When you expand like that, what else do you expand? You expand the opportunity for injuries, and that's my transition to the World Baseball Classic, which has had a couple of serious injuries to players who now, you know, their Major League Baseball season is in jeopardy because they're doing what is essentially an exhibition play. And it makes me wonder, you know, if something like that, this could really give the World Baseball Classic a black eye.
Yeah, I did see one of the Major League Baseball pros break his leg yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And by celebrating. Wasn't
by celebrating, which I thought we were done with that. I thought we were like, celebrate cautiously, you know?
Right. So, anyways, plans, Pat, for St. Paddy's Day today?
I do not. I'm going to be running away. Our live shows will resume on Tuesday, March 28th. And I think the only green in my future involves some palm trees.
I'm leaving tomorrow. I'll be taking off tomorrow to Florida to watch our softball and baseball teams compete down there for the week.
Okay.
So I get a chance. I have not done that since I've been in the tenure at Eau Claire. I've always gone in the past to Florida to watch baseball, softball, golf, tennis. That's their spring break trip. But I'm going to do it this year. And I'm looking forward to getting to some warm weather and getting out of this.
We were over at our neighborhood watering hole, The Edge, here last night, and somebody was talking about how tough it is for spring sports. You have to travel a lot, and if there's inclement weather, you're fighting for gym time, you know, to get your practices in. And I reminded them that I never had that issue because nobody fights over space at the library for the debate team. The debate team, we always had enough space. Inclement weather was not a problem for us. All right, one more sports note. The Bucks lost last night. The Indiana Pacers rallied late and beat the Bucks 139-123. They are at home versus Toronto on Sunday. And that's where we leave things. So we'll take next week off. Dan, safe travels to Florida. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Enjoy yourself this week, Pat.
All right. Thanks so much. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of the show today. Again, live shows will resume on Tuesday, March 28th. It's been a pleasure, but it's also been a long winter. I'm going to go take care of that for a while. Y'all take care of yourselves. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk again soon.